Our first reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila from Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked together. By trade, they were tent makers. Every Sabbath, he would argue in the synagogue and would try to convince Jews and Greeks. Word of God, word of life. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been made clear to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gallius, so that no one could say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanias. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. Word of God, word of life.
Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly gracious God, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together today as community, both here physically in this space and through digital means online. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of baptism and how our baptism unites us all together. Be with us this day and every day forward, Lord, but specifically, enter us where we are here in this place at this time. Open our hearts and minds to the invitation of your Holy Spirit, that through you, with you, and in you, we gain a better understanding of where you are calling us to go and how you are calling us to get there. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today we are kicking off our last sermon series of our narrative lectionary year, because our narrative lectionary ends at Pentecost, and then we get the summer to kind of do what we want to do. So Pastor Steve and I came up with some really good topics and themes that we'll be preaching on this summer. But we're ending this with Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Now, we get a little bit of both sides of the coin, because the way our narrative lectionary writers do it is they give us part of Acts where the early church leaders, like Paul, for example, were going out into the communities to kind of start sharing the gospel and growing the church. And then it jumps to the letters that they write to those communities that they helped form. Now, in our reading from Acts, we didn't have an opportunity to cover that because our reading kind of cut a couple verses beforehand. But this church that Paul is writing to in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, it's a church that he knows really well. In Acts, it tells us that he spent a year and a half with this community, helping them grow and educating them and sharing witness and gospel. So a year and a half. Now, that might not seem like a lot of time for us. I mean, I know I have quite a many projects in my own life that have gone a lot longer than a year and a half, but I'm not working on those projects every single day. Paul was. So imagine working on one thing for a year and a half. You'll get to know it pretty well. This is who he's writing to. A community that he knows and a community that knows him. A community of trust, of understanding, and a community that is deeply connected. But we do also know that this community is experiencing some issues. And it should hopefully come to no surprise that the church today, as we experience it, is very similar to the church that we are reading about in 1 Corinthians. Because think about that for a quick second. Think about it. You have a large church full of diversity experiencing some problems. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, right? It's our church today, too. You see, Corinth was a big city, a very large, important port city for the Roman Empire. And a lot of people are constantly visiting, passing through, and even just choosing to come and reside in Corinth. Now, we do know that there is a large Jewish community in Corinth, so we can assume that this church includes Jewish Christians. But the big bulk of this community in Corinth are Gentiles. They are Greeks that connected with the gospel of Christ and chose to follow Jesus. So in that Gentile community is a very great diversity of beliefs, of culture, of understandings. And the problem is, Paul's not the only leader that this community has experienced. You see, Paul spent that year and a half, but once he was done, he felt the invitation of the Holy Spirit to pick up and head on out. He does. And we do know that he wrote this letter while he was in a different Roman city, the city of Ephesus. So he's working on another church community over there and catches wind that this church that he helped start is starting to fracture apart. So he's writing this letter to them to help bring them back together, to bring unity. But he does that through the lens of the gospel. Because what Paul wants to remind the church in Corinth, and it's a reminder for us in our church here today, that every aspect of how we live our lives can be and should be connected to the gospel of Christ. You see, there's no aspect of our faith that should be separate from how we live. It just shouldn't be, right? We don't just say, okay, I'm going to connect A, B, and C to my faith, but D is some platform, I'm just going to leave that over there. You know, no. Paul wants to remind us that all aspects of who we are should be connected back to Christ. So the theme, that golden thread that's going to bring 1 Corinthians all together, is him reminding the church then and the church today that at the core and center of our identity, it needs to be Jesus. Jesus needs to be our reason. Now the reason why it's so important, this first part, is because the people are getting a little distracted by leadership. And I don't just mean the contrast between good leaders and bad leaders, because I think we've all experienced that in our own lives. We've had good leaders. We've experienced some not so good ones. But what the church in Corinth is doing is after Paul left, other early church leaders have come through Corinth. Paul name drops them, right? He says, Apollos, Paul, that's himself, Cephas, which is the Aramaic name for Peter. We all know who Peter is. These other church leaders came through this community and spent time there. And during that time, members of the community connected with them, but when they left, they became kind of like a fan club, a bunch of groupies, if you will. And what they did is they started to marginalize one another. Because if you don't agree with everything that Peter says, well then you're not in the cool kid club. Or Apollos, man, he knows where it's at. Like, nah, Paul was the first one, so he's the original. He's the OG, right? We got to stick with Paul. They were dividing. And Paul needs to remind them that it's not us that matters. It's not us that's connected to the core of our identity of faith. It has to be Jesus. I love how Paul responds because he says, wait, did I die on the cross for your sins? I don't think so. I'm still here. I'm writing you a letter. Did I baptize you in my name? No. The core of who we are as Christians needs to be Jesus Christ. Now, this matters for us today because we have experienced this. For those of you that maybe have grown up in a church like me, you're kind of a cradle believer, you may have witnessed it firsthand. There's a phrase I'm going to throw at you here. So goes the pastor, so goes the church. It's normal for this kind of behavior to happen. And I remember Back when I was a teenager, a youth here at Epiphany, we had a youth pastor because it was Pastor Rob and Pastor Larry who are our co-pastors for this congregation. And I remember when Pastor Rob left, he left as the associate here to take a senior pastor position at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Toledo. I remember the assistant to the bishop, Pastor Mark Miller, coming to this congregation to say, "Hey, look, I know Pastor Rob is leaving, but you need to stay. The community here needs you." Let's be real with one another, just for a quick moment here, some real talk. We build relationships. Community is built on relationships. They become personal, intimate, they hold meaning, and they hold value. And we attach to those relationships another personal and intimate aspect of ourselves, our faith, then it becomes even more deeply embedded into who we are. But it's important to remember what Paul is trying to tell us. We are liminal, we're transitionary, we are finite, we are not eternal. The leaders of our communities, the pastors, the Bible study leaders, the readers, the worship leaders, we're all transitionary. We're not eternal. Christ is. People come and people go. And that interaction that we have with them, it grows. When they leave, there is pain, there is a loss, and sometimes we don't want to let those relationships go. But we need to. We need to. Now, I don't want you to feel like I'm preaching at you, because I'm right here with you. I'll be honest, this is the second time I've admitted it, because it was at the 8 o'clock service I admitted it first. I did this a lot when I was in seminary. I was very selective with my leaders. I really was. I learned pretty quickly which professors at seminary I loved and which ones I didn't really care for. Yeah, not because they challenged me or gave me bad grades or anything like that, but I just didn't like them as much. So I would always do my best to make sure to figure out, oh, well, you're teaching this class, so I'm going to go take that one because that meets this requirement. Oh, you're teaching that? No, I don't need that class. It's okay. Some classes I had were co-taught, much like churches, right? We had two professors. And wouldn't you know, my attendance was much better on those class days that my favorite professor was teaching. But it was online, so they never knew. I could just watch it again later. It's not a big deal. But we all do that. It's human. It's normal. And Paul's not saying that it's not okay. It is okay to form those relationships and to have your favorite people. But our favorite people cannot become our identity as believers in Christ because they are not eternal. The core of who you are as a Christian needs to be Christ. It can't be your favorite associate pastor. I got a couple laughs. There we go. That was my joke for the day. Right? It can't be your favorite Bible study teacher, your favorite reader. Can't be your favorite vocalist in the band. It's got to be Jesus. Everything needs to hinge and lead back to Christ. For it is Christ who is eternal. It is Christ who redeems us. It is Christ to whom we are connected to in baptism. It is Christ at the heart of our community. It is Christ at the center of the love we feel and the love we are called to share. So go forward. Keep Christ at the forefront and at the center of everything you are, because it is only through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ that we can truly live into the community that God is inviting us towards. So share Christ. Find that love and be eternally connected to a God who loves you so very much. Amen.